What's in store for churches in 2019? News, insights, trends, and brand new resources for ECFA members. We're excited to give you a VIP first look at what's to come.
Informing, encouraging, and supporting your church, you're listening to the Excellence in Church Administration podcast from ECFA.
Happy New Year! This is Michael Martin from ECFA, and we are so glad that you've joined us for another Excellence in Church Administration podcast. Well, today is a very special episode as we're kicking off Season 3 of our podcast, which is just so hard to believe. We've got another brand new year full of great content for our podcast community. Speaking of New Year, we want to give you, our podcast listeners, a VIP first look into what we have in store at ECFA in 2019, as well as some insights into trends and important developments that we see coming for leaders this year. I know, admittedly, that is a tall order, but I can think of no better friends to help us with that task than our very own ECFA President Dan Busby and Executive Vice President Vana Lau. So thank you both for joining us on the podcast today.
I'm glad to be here, Michael.
Great to be with you, Michael.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yes.
It is hard to believe. Well, maybe before we start looking ahead to 2019, one quick item that I thought we might want to highlight, actually looking back a little bit at 2018, is the recently released ECFA State of Giving Report. So, Dan, maybe you can tell us a little bit about that report and what are some of the trends that we're seeing, really specifically, that are important to churches?
Yes. Overall, we saw an increase of 5.9% for all of our ECFA members compared to the most recent year. And that was the largest increase that we've seen in 3 years.
Wow.
But specifically for churches, the increase between the most recent 2 years was 7.4%, which is a great increase. And that compares to last year's study of 2.5%. So 7.4% increase, 2.5% increase last year. The five-year average for church members is 4.9%. Now, I'd quickly add, the larger churches did much better than the smaller churches. And so churches in the 25 to 50 million range showed increases of 8.8%. 10 to 25 million range, 7.2. But on the other end of the spectrum, those churches with less than $1 million of annual revenue showed only an increase of 1.8%. And so this data is consistent with our nonprofit members. The main difference for our nonprofit members, the organizations under $1 million actually saw a decrease in cash giving between the last 2 years. So at least churches, even the smaller churches, show an increase. And so very positive signs for the most recent 2 years. Each year has to stand on its own, and we'll talk a little more about that later.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and an important distinction would be, as we're tracking that giving data, what we just talked about is giving data that was pre-tax reform in a lot of ways. And so I think looking ahead to 2019, that's definitely one of the issues that we're going to start to look at, Vana, right, is just feeling the impact of tax reform, how that might impact giving. So maybe you can kind of kick us off with one of our first looks, and that would be tax reform.
Sure. And I think the standard answer everyone is giving now is we'll know after April when everyone files their taxes what the tax reform impact is going to be, I think, both on individuals and organizations. But individually, it's interesting to note that individuals are the greatest source of charitable giving, about $281 billion, which is over 70% of giving comes from individuals. So as we're looking at our churches and ministries, just understanding the impact on the individual will certainly have, it's kind of a trickle-down effect to the churches. You know, some of the things that impact individuals, boy, that Schedule A for anybody that itemizes is going to be significantly different this year. So many of those things changed, whether it's the miscellaneous deductions that went away, whether it's the limitation on the state and local taxes that they're able to deduct, or what we really have spent our time focusing on, and that's the change in the standard deduction. With that doubling, there are fewer people that are going to itemize. Before, they estimated that 25 to 30% of taxpayers itemized, and now they're looking at, you know, maybe 10%. So that's a big difference for the individual taxpayer. And then employers, there isn't a lot that has changed in the nonprofit community from an employer standpoint. I think a lot of it is making individuals and staff members aware of the changes that are going to impact them. But when I look at it more organizationally with our churches and ministries, it's how is this tax reform going to impact contributions? Now, the one thing that I would say about that is, you know, the last time major tax reform happened in 1986, I think people thought the sky might fall and that contributions were going to tank and it was going to be this big deal. And we actually looked at that, and there's barely a blip. If you look at a line chart for the last four decades, you can barely notice 1986, and then it increases at a pretty high rate of speed over the next, you know, 25, 30 years. So I'm not all gloom and doom, but I do think that we will have to wait and see a little bit and understand, you know, are individuals going to bunch their contributions as we've talked about, you know, maybe give twice as much every 2 years so that they itemize every other year. But to me, churches, the most important thing for them to communicate is just an awareness of the impact only hits those few individuals that are no longer itemizing. The ones that didn't itemize before really doesn't impact the giving there. And those who have enough to continue to itemize, there's no change there either. It's really just that maybe 15% that will be impacted. So communication is key.
That's great. Those are some really good insights. And one of the things that I'm hopeful of as well is that in the church community, we'll see a resiliency of, you know, people giving to the church for the right reasons, not just the tax benefits, right?
Well, and I've said that. I don't wish anyone else ill will by any means, those other organizations. But I do think it's an opportunity to really be a testimony just across the country. You know, if the religious giving really stayed up at a higher, you know, percentage, there may be some people that wonder why that is. And to just be able to point out that maybe we give for reasons other than the tax incentive, I think could be an interesting commentary.
Amen. Well, I'd love to see that as well. So, well, shifting gears a little bit, another one of, as we're kind of thinking about first looks into 2019, what are we going to see, you know, coming down the pike this year? One thing that comes to mind for me is just some of the court challenges that we were tracking last year, unless you were under a rock or I don't know where you were, but in 2018, we really carefully were following the challenge both to the minister's housing exclusion and also to the Form 990 exemption. And both of these cases, for those of you who are familiar, you would know, initiated by the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF, and both of these cases would really have a significant financial impact on both pastors and churches if FFRF is successful in these cases. So maybe just taking them one at a time here, very briefly, what we expect to kind of see going into 2019 and where we've been so far. On the challenge to the minister's housing exclusion, as we know, FFRF has been challenging the constitutionality of that provision that allows ministers to receive an income tax-free housing allowance from the church. So we're not necessarily talking about those who might be impacted that are in church parsonages. And just a quick update on where we are. That case is currently on appeal at the Seventh Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals. We saw the oral arguments take place back in October. That was probably the most recent development that we were tracking. And we really expect to see a decision from the appeals court sometime probably early in 2019, as that's kind of what we're suspecting. And we've made note of, you know, the appeals court, it technically only has jurisdiction over Wisconsin, Illinois, and Indiana. But if the court rules that the housing allowance is unconstitutional, something else we know is that the IRS could actually take that decision and for administrative reasons decide to apply that nationwide. And, you know, the other point that I would say here too is that I think there's a possibility that either way, no matter how this case comes out, it definitely could continue to be appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. So there's definitely still more to come on that issue, and folks will have to stay tuned to ECFA for more updates there.
And when that decision comes down, that won't necessarily impact churches and ministries immediately, correct?
Correct. Yeah, I think that there was a an aspect of even the lower court ruling when that decision was issued, that there would be a little bit of a grace period. Let's say that the housing allowance were declared unconstitutional and that stood, there would be a bit of a grace period or amount of time for churches to make that transition.
But they still ought to be at least thoughtful about it and maybe planning about what they could do should that be unfavorable for them.
Absolutely. So that's one that we're tracking in 2019 that's surely coming down the pike. And then the second court development, as we mentioned, was really just this challenge that we saw to the church exemption from the IRS Form 990. Now, that case actually comes much later. It was initiated just kind of towards the tail end of 2018 by Non-Belief Relief, which is an organization that's related to Freedom From Religion Foundation. That case was filed in the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia. And as we mentioned, it was to challenge the church exemption to the IRS Form 990. And I don't want to presume that all of our listeners know what that form is. Form 990, it's the federal information return that most nonprofits have to file with the IRS each year and make available for public inspection. So it's sort of like a tax return, but for tax-exempt organizations. Within the 990, it contains a lot of detailed information about the inner workings of an organization, its governance, its finances, and even information on the salaries of some of its top leaders. And churches have never been required to file a form like that with the IRS due to concerns over separation of church and state. So this would definitely be a significant change for churches if the atheists were successful in this case.
So what does ECFA think about that 990 filing?
That's a good question. And I would say we actually have a page out on our website that folks, we did kind of even a video update of the case and, here's where ECFA has been on the issue. And that is that we believe that churches should be appropriately transparent. That's actually one of our standards at ECFA is being transparent, even with providing a copy of, you know, your latest annual financial statements to anyone upon request. But we really believe that the Form 990 itself would impose a burden on churches, and that there are some legitimate separation of church and state concerns to where ECFA has taken a position that churches should not have to file that form. And then just in terms of the update, as far as looking ahead to 2019, so that case is really in the early stages, but we're continuing to monitor that. And again, 2019 is going to be a year that we see definitely some developments, and so you'll have to stay tuned as far as that case goes. But maybe let's transition now from the courts and take it back to Capitol Hill. Dan, I know that you've been tracking, ECFA has been tracking a lot of different Capitol Hill updates, everything from last year, the parking tax and a number of different developments. So what do we see in 2019 as it relates to Capitol Hill?
Well, yes, Michael, 2018 was a year that we did focus on the nonprofit parking tax. That was a tax that was included in the Tax Cuts and Job Act that was signed into law in December of 2017. It applies to employer-provided parking expenses paid or incurred on or after January 1, 2018. And churches are subject to that tax. There is a $1,000 per year floor before it becomes taxable. So ECFA jumped into the fray early last year to try to either get a repeal of the parking tax or render the tax practically ineffective by regulation or other administrative guidance from the Treasury. We saw over 2,700 organizations sign on to a petition that we delivered to Capitol Hill, and we went almost clear through 2018 before the Treasury finally issued some guidance on December 10 about these regulations. The guidance is very complex. But thanks to those new Treasury regulations, most churches will not be affected by the parking tax, but there will certainly be some that will have to pay for 2018 and perhaps 2019 as well. But one thing is clear from the new regulations. If a church has reserved parking spaces for employees, a portion of those parking expenses related to those spaces will be subject to tax. The tax is more likely to affect churches in urban areas than in rural because the higher cost of living means the parking benefits cost more. But churches do have until March 1st of this year, March 1, 2019, to remove assigned parking. So it's an easy out for some. A church is not subject to the nonprofit parking tax if the church's parking facilities do not have any reserved employee parking and are not used primarily by employees. So what can we expect in 2019? Well, I hope we can expect an entire repeal of the nonprofit parking tax, and I would expect to see that probably in the second quarter of 2019, because we're still dealing with a very complex issue that many churches must seek legal or accounting advice on about how to deal with the nonprofit parking tax. So it's been a long trip on the nonprofit parking tax, but I hope it'll be eliminated in 2019. Some churches may have jumped in and filed the form 990T to pay the 21% nonprofit parking tax based on advice from their advisors in 2018. So in 2019, they may be filing for refunds on some of those returns. So a lot of these things will sort out in 2019 about the nonprofit parking tax.
Yeah, no, that's good. And do you want to tell us a little bit too? ECFA in December also recorded a great webinar on the parking tax. There were some good materials, even as far as a handout that folks can track, because I know it gets to be really technical. So Dan, maybe you can jump in and tell us a little bit about that resource.
Yes, for people that want some more details on this topic, our webinar that was recorded in December 2018 is the best resource that I know on the topic, and that's available on our website.
Great. Yep. And I know even in the handout, there's, you know, how to calculate and all of that. So that was a really helpful resource. And maybe speaking of calculations and numbers, one of the other trends that we're looking at, or just developments in 2019, are folks are probably hearing about changes in the accounting standards. So we're going to turn it over to Vana. I think that's maybe you can tell us a little bit about that in 2019.
Well, I'm happy to. We've been talking about these changes for a long time, it seems like. They, you know, the accounting standards were issued in a draft form years ago, and there was feedback and there were revisions, and then they were issued in the finalized form. Well, finally, the day has come where all financial statements from here forward for ministries and other nonprofits really will look differently. I think that's the biggest change. There are some changes in revenue recognition. Most churches won't be impacted by that. There are changes still coming in how lease accounting is done. So if your church has a lot of leases, you'll want to be working with your CPAs on that over the next year or so. But the biggest thing is just the financial statements. And things like, instead of referring to unrestricted and temporarily restricted and permanently restricted, will now be with donor restrictions and without donor restrictions. We're going to look at changes to how investment expenses are reported and what those look like. There will also be endowments for those few churches. Sometimes some of our older churches will have endowments, which absolutely fantastic. It's always great to have that opportunity. For those, there's some changes in what that would look like, especially if there are any of them that are underwater. But I would say that aside from the presentation, the two big things that will change, now there will be a liquidity disclosure. So churches will just need to be transparent about, you know, what does the liquidity of our church look like? So I would encourage them to work early with their CPAs on those external financial statements that they'll be releasing. The second piece of that would also be the functional allocation of expenses. You know, before churches and other 501c3s had to have a breakdown by program, administration, and fundraising. Well, that gets expanded significantly now so that it's broke out by your natural classification of expenses, salaries, supplies, travel, et cetera, into those categories. And you can do that a couple of different ways. But those are some big changes. One of the things that I'm excited about in 2019 is there was the what was referred to as the EJAC guide for years, and now that has been changed to ROAC, which is the Religious Organizations Accounting Committee. That guide, I think I have seen more ministries use than just about any other resource as far as kind of technical guidance on things. And while it's the technical side of people would say it's not authoritative, it's really helpful to bridge that gap between what is and just practical application. And that hasn't been updated for about 17 years. And this spring, we should see the release of that new guide. And so there are a number of people across the country in ministry positions that have served on that committee to help make that an excellent resource. And I know I'm excited about being able to see that updated and available to churches and ministries this year.
Thanks for leading the charge on that. And I guess that would be, it'd be appropriate to say it's about time on that one, huh?
Well, maybe because I'm leading the charge, that's why I'm so excited to see it done.
Right. Well, good. Now, that'll be a great resource, and folks can stay tuned to our Pulse e-news, I'm sure, for the updates on that when, you know, when that becomes available. And speaking of historic, 2019, I should have mentioned this at the beginning of the podcast, is ECFA's 40th anniversary as a ministry. And one of the things that we're really emphasizing as part of that year is just a year of excellence in governance. And so there's going to be a lot that we'll be talking about along those lines. But maybe Dan or Vonna, just, you know, either one of you, if you want to kind of jump in and tell us what can folks expect when it comes to 2019, ECFA's anniversary and this focus on governance?
Well, maybe I'll just pick on a couple things and then let Vonna pick up on some others. One of the things that we anticipate doing is releasing a new book entitled Lessons from the Church Boardroom, written by John Pearson and somebody else on this call.
That would be Dan.
That would be Dan.
And we expect to have a formal release of that book at the XP conference in Dallas in February. And so the release of that book is one of the things that we're anticipating. We're also anticipating the release of a book entitled Tools and Templates for Effective Governance. And so this is a set of tools that can be downloaded and used by any church. And just a few months ago, we released The Council by Gary Hoag, Wes Womer, and Greg Henson, which is a deep dive into what the Bible says about governance. Not surprisingly, the Bible doesn't say too much about governance, but what the Bible does say, these authors highlighted it in an excellent book. The other thing that we're going to release early this year is what we're calling Church Board Score, which is an online self-assessment that church boards can take by simply responding to 36 statements, and they will get an immediate feedback on screen of how their practices compare to best practices. And then one of the great features of Church Board Score is that for any one of those 36 statements that a church would like some help, there will be online links for help. It is unlike any resource that I have ever seen as relates to church governance. And so that's exciting. But Vonna, why don't you tell us about what's coming up with some forums?
Absolutely. And before I do that, I have to say, you know, there's the saying, you can't judge a book by its cover. But I think with Lessons from the Church Boardroom, that's not necessarily true, because it has a fantastic cover which surrounds all of these great lessons. So I think this book, you can judge by its cover. So I'm excited for that.
Dan, and now everyone's wondering what is on the cover.
Are you going to tell them what's on the cover?
Absolutely not. I'm going to move right into the forums and let them go get the book. These forums that we're doing, I will say something else I'm really excited about in 2019. In addition to it being the 40th anniversary for ECFA, we've kind of deemed 2019 the year of excellence in governance. And I believe more now than at any point in history, boards of churches are realizing the fiduciary responsibility that they have and the importance of that role. And yet at the same time, they're not necessarily receiving the training or resources to be able to do that well. And so we've looked at that and put together forums. So excellence in governance forums that we're going to do in 10 cities around the country this coming fall. And we'll have some video from a variety of really well-known, well-respected people. We'll have some live speakers there. We're going to do this in a way that it's general sessions, and then organizations and churches will be able to break out and talk about those sessions with their own board members and their senior pastors, so we can kind of digest a little bit. I think oftentimes you go to a training like this, you get to the end of the day, you feel like you drank from a fire hydrant. You go back and you set your stuff down, and 3 months later you look at it and unfortunately maybe chuck it in the garbage. And what we really want to do is give them the opportunity to absorb that together and process it and really have some great takeaways to help church boards do what they do better.
Well, I know one of the things that we're going to be talking about at the forums is actually some breaking research, groundbreaking research that our very own Warren Bird, who's the Vice President of Research and Equipping here at ECFA, has been working on, has already put together a lot of information on the nonprofit governance survey. But we also have the church governance survey that's going to be, there's invitations that are going out, I believe it's in January, so not long after this podcast is coming out. But folks, definitely be on the lookout for that and responding to that invitation so that we can learn about what are some of the trends, what are some of the challenges that churches are facing in terms of governance, so that when we get together at these forums, we can talk about that.
Yes, people on the call are probably very familiar with Dr. Warren Bird and the great research that he has done in churches, especially with large churches, and Dr. Bird is applying those research concepts to this church survey, church governance survey, and I would expect we will release three separate reports and then a combined report on his research.
Yeah. Absolutely. We look forward to that, and we need your participation in order to make that possible. So these have been just some incredible first looks into 2019. I think we could spend a lot more time camping on that. But one that I want to just kind of conclude here with as well is just the growth that we're seeing in churches that are stepping up to be certified by ECFA. And this is a great tie-in to a lot of the things that we've already talked about in terms of what's going on in the world around us and the importance of strong governance and the importance of excellence in terms of, you know, the accounting and financial management of an organization. So we are seeing a record number of churches that are stepping up to become ECFA certified. And I want to just share a quick story from a church that we recently had the privilege of seeing become an ECFA member to become certified. And this comes from Walnut Hill Community Church. They are in Bethel, Connecticut, and we worked really closely with a CPA on their staff, Doug Palmer, and he just shared this story with us that I thought all of our podcast listeners would enjoy as well. He said that ECFA standards were handed to him on the first day of the job at Walnut Hill Community Church. Can you
Excellent.
Imagine that?
That's a great start. I like it.
So he was off to a good start. He said, "I hung these standards on the wall in front of me as a daily reminder of the bar that we should be striving for." He goes on to say, "It is exciting to finally get to thank ECFA for their guidance and commitment to excellence by formally applying to be a member of the ECFA family. The website application process was simple and easy to follow, but I was most impressed by the interest and time the ECFA team took in Walnut Hill Community Church." So Doug goes on to just express his thanks and his appreciation for the work of ECFA. So it's stories like that to me that are just so powerful. And on that note, one of the other things I want to share, and for those that are tuning in, you guys get to be this is the VIP first opportunity that we've had to announce this. And this is an exciting update from ECFA and news that we were just awarded a generous grant from our friends at Lilly Endowment for 2019. And those of you guys who know Lilly Endowment, you know that they have been doing some incredible work to help address the economic challenges that are facing pastors and churches. And so one of the things that they would love to see through this latest grant to ECFA is for the community of ECFA certified churches to continue to grow in 2019. So getting to the announcement, we're excited to announce that this year, through their generosity, we're going to be able to offer some scholarship discounts this year to new churches that are interested in joining ECFA, as well as to our current members. Don't feel like you're left out in this at all. Some membership referral incentives for those of you that can recommend new churches to join ECFA. And so you're the first to hear about this exciting program on the podcast, and we'd love to tell you more if you're interested. So to do that, just shoot an email to podcast@ecfa.org, and we'll definitely connect you on the next step. So I think that's all the time that we have in terms of our first look updates into 2019 and what a year it will be. So as we close, one thing I'd love to do, Dan, is just to ask you, if you don't mind, to say a prayer of blessing over this upcoming year and to all of our listeners who are on the podcast.
Yes, absolutely. Father, I thank you for each congregation that is represented on this podcast today. As we think about the potential for ministry in 2019, I just pray that you will give each church an impactful year. May they discern the direction from the Holy Spirit for their church. And when 2019 is concluded, I pray that they will be able to look back over the year and see that it was a fruitful year to bring more men, women, boys, and girls to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so we just thank you for each church and pray a blessing on them today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, amen. And thanks, Dan, for that prayer blessing. And thanks, Vonna, for joining us on the podcast as well today. I love the insights that both of you had to share. And so we really appreciate you joining us. We can already tell that 2019 is going to be quite the year. And we rest in knowing that God is faithful and He has great plans in store for us. So to all of our podcast listeners, we so appreciate each of you and the churches you serve. And we do pray that 2019 will be your best season of ministry yet. And we look forward to serving you throughout the year. So thanks again for tuning in today. And we look forward to being with you again soon for another Excellence in Church Administration podcast.